Good morning. My name is Jeff Abshire. I'm one of the pastors here. Been working with Jimmy for about 24 years, and he'll be leading us a little bit later on in the service. Been married 20 years. I think we have a little picture of my family here. My wife, Dorothy, and my three kids, and we have a lot of fun together. So not sure they're here yet. You never know with my wife. She's a little more spontaneous than me. Don't know which service they're coming to until Sunday morning. So if you're here, yell. All right. So, hey, one little detail this morning. I know that you may have just walked in and thought, what are we doing? Where's the worship band? Okay. It is a little bit different this morning. Those of you that are spontaneous are loving it. Those of you who like structure are trembling inside. That's okay. We're going to get through it. Okay. We're going to have a good time. We are going to worship a little bit later. And yes, I am the guinea pig of a preacher who gets to preach before worship. But one detail is that a little bit later on, when we move around, we will have a chance for you to give your tithes and offerings. So if you want to get that prepared now, you can. If you're planning on giving this morning, we'll help you do that here in a little while. But you might want to go ahead and get prepared for that. I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine. His name is Dave Ludke. He's actually in the video. This is Dave and I at the Final Four a couple weeks ago. I got the chance to go with him, and we cheered for his Wisconsin Badgers, although they did not win. It was still a lot of fun. That's where he's from, so he had a great time being there. We play tennis together. We teach tennis together. Dave is a teacher, PE coach, instructor at Waco Montessori Elementary School. So he and his wife, Cindy, each have kids on their second marriage and definitely leading a blended family and a great people, okay? But I'm going to tell you a little bit about Dave's journey of transformation. You heard some words from him, but I'm going to give you a little bit more of the background. So a few years ago, his daughter, Gabby, was involved in our church youth group. So she was attending services here while she was also going to school at Texas Christian Academy. So she knew some church relationships from there. And she was really enjoying it. She just thought, I've got to get Dave and Cindy to come. So she invited them on a Sunday morning, and they came. And they had some church background, but were not really familiar with how to have a personal relationship with God. But they were stirred. Their hunger for God was kind of stirred. And as you heard Dave say, he didn't want to ride the fence any longer with God. He wanted to be all in. Then after that, coming here on some Sunday mornings. Then they got connected to a life group. The first one that Tanya and Vincent were leading. And then they transitioned a little bit later to one that Ed and Lori Gully were leading. And then when we first started our Alpha course about 2 years ago, they came to that first course to try to get a better foundation in God and understand the Bible. And they enjoyed that. And then they began to reinvest in our church. And for the last 2 years, Dave and Cindy have been leading one of our guest ministry teams on Sunday mornings, so our ushers and greeters. And they also have served at Alpha and been table leaders. And then, as you heard him say, been recently on our spring break mission trip to Baton Rouge. So that's a little bit of his progression of involvement around here. But what I'm going to look at is, how did Dave get transformed in this process? You know, those were the venues he was in, but what else was going on? So the first thing, obviously, is Jesus. Dave just began to hunger for more of God. And one way that he gave himself to learning about God was just by reading the Bible. And I love the scripture in Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If Dave wasn't going to conform to the world any longer, then he was going to have to go about life a little bit differently than he had before, right? You can't just keep doing the same thing and really see change happen. Was Dave a good guy? Generally, yeah. But you know, his thinking was often self-centered or proud or deceived. You know, maybe even times fearful or insecure or without faith. Some of those might sound familiar to you. Maybe you struggle with those. I know I do. But when we get the truth of God into our hearts, then it changes the way we see things. When I was showed up at Baylor quite a few years ago, I knew Jesus as my Lord and Savior and had a relationship with him, but it was very undeveloped. I hadn't really been discipled. I was very immature in my faith. But when I came to college and someone showed me how to read the Bible and how to get something out of it, then I read it every day until I, cover to cover, I knew what was in God's Word. Do I need to keep reading it? Yes. But it changed the way I saw myself and the way I saw God. And my encouragement would be, even when you read the Bible, make it a prayer. Make it, God, yes, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, God, hide me in the shadow of your wings. Like, let the truth, like, dwell in you. Okay? Don't just read it on a surface level, but pray it so that it becomes part of you. Second thing, help Dave, discipleship. You heard about a story in the video of the life group where they were going to go out and share the gospel in the neighborhood. And Dave said he began to break into cold sweats. And then the first thing he said about this was, okay, well, then I'm with Vincent. And if you know Vincent, if you know you're a little fearful of doing something, he's a bigger guy and pretty bold, although this isn't necessarily evangelism, his greatest strength, but he does it out of discipline and then it turns to delight, okay? Anyway, so he hooked up with Vincent, and what happens there is that when Vincent was with Dave, he showed him how to come up to somebody, introduce himself, ask if he can pray for him, share the gospel, etc. I just got a little distracted because I see Dave right over there, and I wasn't expecting him to be till the third service. Dave, give us a little wave. So glad you made it here. They were in Kansas this weekend, got in the car, and got down here. So Vincent showed Dave how to live the gospel, right? Didn't just tell him about it. It's like the scripture in 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul admonishes Timothy to take the things he said and to entrust it to reliable men who will also teach others. So you see Vincent passing that along to Dave so that it can keep going. It's not just for Dave himself, but now Dave can do it. The third thing, life group community. Now, they transitioned a little bit later to another life group with Ed and Lori Gully. There was people with almost all in the same season of life. They didn't really have kids at home any longer, but they found a lot of great fellowship and camaraderie with that group. And Dave remembers specifically that there in that life group, he learned how to pray in the name of Jesus. They prayed for their adult kids to meet godly spouses. That was very helpful in his walk with God, just to learn step by step. How do you have a relationship with Jesus? And the fourth thing is just giving it away, okay? You know, Dave's words were he was in his own bubble in life. He wasn't very aware of what God was doing around him, but now he looks to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That could be as simple as loving the kids and showing more patience with the kids at his school. He recalls praying with a lady at HEB gas pump, stopping to offer money to somebody who's in need, offering somebody, give somebody a ride. All right, Dave is 53 years old and highly routined about life, okay? He eats the same thing for lunch every day. Some ways you could call that controlling, right? But he's still given his life to God and gotten transformed, so it's never too late. Doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter how old you are, if you give yourselves to God, he'll change you. Now, the focus, you know, is on this transformation Dave's experienced and passing along to others. But I want to take a look back as to who are the people along the way that had a part of that transformation process. Remember, the story started with their daughter, Gabby. So Gabby was involved in our high school youth group. So you have high school youth volunteers who are loving on kids, playing and hanging out with kids, praying for kids, leading youth life groups, showing up at our youth group, just deciding, hey, I'm going to love Jesus with these guys, and they're going to catch it. So we're thankful for them. Then on Sunday morning, you've got guest ministries teams. You've got the band. You've got people working in AV and tech responsibilities. And they're here to create an atmosphere for people to feel welcome and for them to encounter God. Thirdly, you've got life group. So we've got life group leaders, hundreds of them in our church. Now, they're not perfect, but they sacrificed to create a place for Acts 2 community to occur. So there's sharing, fellowship, teaching, salvation, praying, all those things going on in a small group community. And then lastly, they were involved in Alpha. So you've got table leaders who've come to time to be trained so they can lead people in a relationship with God in that discovery process. You've got cooks at Alpha because we serve a free meal every Alpha course. So they're creating that safe place for people to explore God and ask tough questions. So did the high school volunteer, did they realize that by investing in youth that they were going to see families changed and then see that impacted, multiplied out? You know, did the Alpha table leaders have vision for, hey, the people in front of me that I'm trying to lead towards God, do I realize that then as they get established in God, they're going to be reinvesting and maybe leading an Alpha table, inviting other people to Alpha? You know, the band, what about them leading worship and giving time and energy to practice and write songs? Dave said he listens to an Antioch Live album on repeat in his car. Anybody else do that? I do. Why do we do that? We want to surround ourselves with God's presence. We want to stay engaged in what God's doing, and that worship music helps facilitate that. You see from this picture that just went away, but you saw, you got the point, is that people lead people to Jesus. God uses us to see other people transformed. Now, I know that God can just meet somebody right where they are in a moment, and they can have an encounter with God and be changed. In fact, one of our church members here, Kyle King, is a former police officer and now practices law here in our city. And he described to me 3 years ago how he just began to really get hungry for God and just said, God, anything in my life, I want you to deal with it. Prayed and said, God, just help me meet you in a deeper way. And he remembers an encounter he had with God, where God just met him and took away this major problem he had with anger that was really ruling his life. And through that encounter, then his life got transformed. It changed his marriage, as you can imagine. It allowed him to start operating out of faith and responding to God in faith. And I know that can happen, but really more often, God uses someone like you to catalyze another person's transformation process. His mode of operation is, let's let his heart and gifts flow through the church to build each other up. We're going to look at Acts 8 about Philip in the Ethiopian. So Acts 8, 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And then the scripture goes on to say, as Philip explained that passage of scripture, he then shared the good news of Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they saw some water and they stopped for Philip to baptize the Ethiopian. There's a similar story in Acts 10 of God speaking to Peter to go to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile and a God-fearing man, and explain the gospel. And there the Holy Spirit was poured out and the Gentiles got baptized. This Ethiopian in this scripture passage was familiar with scripture. He just worshiped, remember? He was coming back. He was hungry. There are hungry people. Dave was one of them. I was one of them. But they needed fed. They needed someone like you to pull up alongside of them and show them where the food is. You know, in the New Testament, it's interesting that Jesus asked Peter 3 times, hey, do you love me, Peter? And of course, he responded with, yes, you know I love you. But Jesus' response was then feed my sheep. So obviously, it was very important. God wants the church to gather sheep and feed them. You know, I was one of those hungry ones. I remember coming to college. Well, I remember back, I said I was in high school, but undeveloped Christian. I had a King James Bible sitting on my dresser in my bedroom, really collecting dust. I tried to open it one time and didn't understand it. You know, the English itself, you know, is worded kind of funny. It's hard to understand. But then I still didn't understand just what the whole scripture was about. But when I got in a small group here, when I came to college, somebody helped me understand the word. So my challenge to you is, you know, God's word isn't just for you, but as you know it, as you learn about it, I'm going to challenge you to share it with somebody else. That's really what you're doing when you volunteer around here. You're helping children understand the Bible. You're helping adults through life group and discipleship understand how to walk with God. You're serving people at the feast or stars and helping those that are hungry know God in a deeper way. You're choosing to guide somebody, as the scripture said that Philip did. So why did God use Philip at all? You know, there could be a lot of reasons, but I believe that God wanted to show us how he wants us to come alongside someone and be a part of their transformation process. To show us what church looks like when we all use our gifts to make disciples and build his kingdom. But in order to be ready to be used by God, what do we see from Philip here? The first thing I saw is that Philip needed to be listening to God. Did you notice it said an angel of the Lord spoke to him? So he heard God speak. Now, I don't have time today to go into a message on hearing God, but the better preacher in our family, my wife, Dorothy, preached on hearing God last July, and that can still be found on our website, so you can watch that if that's an area you want to grow in. Okay. Now, hearing God doesn't have to be super complex, but just like anything new, it takes a little bit of work to practice, right? So if you were a 3-year-old watching your 10-year-old brother or sister ride a bike, it's like, wow. You know, that looks complicated. How do they not fall off? But when you're 3 and then you have the training wheels on your bike and you have your mom and dad guiding you from the behind, not letting you fall, you learn how to ride a bike. Okay, so you can learn how to hear God and become more familiar with his voice. And of course, going back to reading scripture is a big key in that. Second thing about Philip, he responded in obedience. He did it by faith. Even if he didn't know why God was asking him to do that. You know, I'm training my children to respond in obedience when I call for them, right? Or ask them to do something. But sometimes it doesn't happen quickly. And I say, hey, Anson, Ari, Alden, come here, please. And then their response from the next room is, why? It's like, well, you don't see Philip responding with the why. It says now he got up. So he got up and obeyed God. So I want that to be my first response. Philip could have just ignored the angel speaking to him, but he got up and obeyed. Third thing, Philip was prepared and able to clearly share the gospel. You know, we know about God, but are we really ready to share how someone can start that relationship with God themselves? You know, can you explain God's great love for someone? And how he sent his son Jesus so that they could be forgiven of their sin and start a new life with God. So my challenge to you is, are you ready to be used by God like Philip was? Are you listening? Are you ready to respond in obedience? Are you prepared to be able to lead someone to Christ? You know, as Dave looked back over his time and his Baton Rouge trip, he realized that God had brought all these people for him to minister to who all had one common theme, and that was just they all needed family restoration. Oscar, a 15-year-old whose parents were divorcing, a lady that was leaving her husband for being beaten, a lady with kids with a broken family and a broken down car, and an LSU student whose wife needed neck surgery. You know, out of Dave's own past and brokenness, God brought him people he could relate to and encourage. Remember, he made himself ready and available. Because he'd been transformed and said, God, I'm willing to be used by you. However you want to do that, I'm ready. Now, before Dave started attending church here, we already had a lot of people here. Okay? But what if we hadn't had room for Dave? You know, there are 150,000 unchurched people in McLennan County. They need a church to go to. It doesn't just have to be this church, but they need to find their way into a church. And our greatest asset in reaching people in our city really is you. It's your changed life. It's your invitation. It's you pulling upside somebody like the Ethiopian and figuring out how to give your life. How do you get into their world? How do you find out if they need you to help them understand something about God? You could bring them to church. Last Sunday, on Easter Sunday, was a lot of fun here. About 3,400 people were here, and that's without our normal 800 college students who were away on their school break. But why did we have some guests here? Why were there people here? It really boils back to you, because you invited people to come to church. And our recent church-wide survey, which you'll hear a little bit more later in future weeks about, but one thing I saw in there already is that 93% of you are here because somebody invited you to church or somebody told you about going to Antioch, okay? So it all boils back to God uses people to reach people. So our expectation with an expanded campus is to see transformation happen in more people's lives. As that happens locally, then we can send people out to reproduce that around other parts of our city, in our nation, and the nations of the world. In the last service, we had a Baylor football player that you're probably aware of named Glasgow Martin. He was here in our service, and J.D. Griffin, one of our pastors, has been a friend of his the last year or two and really been investing in him. And a couple weeks ago, Glasgow was at our worship night in March and really felt prompted to get baptized. And then this past week in Dwelling Place, he actually got baptized. I think we have a picture of that. So that was a lot of fun. And that's really kickstarted his transformation journey. You know, he's on a transformation journey, and so are we. And I just share him as an example of somebody here recently who's kind of gotten on that track in our city. Tad and Sherry Smith are our pastors at our church in Belton. And Sherry had been trained by our Unbound team at how to help rescue victims from human trafficking. Last week, a social worker at Scott and White called Sherry and said, "Hey, I think we have somebody here in the ER that we've seen some signs that maybe they have been trafficked." And they said, "Can you help?" So they didn't know what to do, so they called the church. Sherry shows up. She just gets to know this young lady and just tries to befriend her and make her feel safe. And then Sherry's able to help her transition from the ER to a safe house to rescue her in her time of need. I saw a recent newsletter from one of our church staff at our church in San Diego called All People's Church. And they've been averaging ministering to 1,000 people every Sunday. And they have people from 26 countries represented in their congregation. They have translation into Swahili. Would that have been the language you would have guessed? Probably not. But they recently baptized 34 people in their church, and five of those people were from different countries. You know what I'm saying? Five different countries represented those 34 people. So we're reaching the nations just even within our own borders. And then lastly, I saw a newsletter from one of our overseas missionaries where a man recently gave his life to Jesus living in the Middle East. And he was baptized along with three other guys who'd recently given their lives to Christ. That's a lot of fun. Church is a lot of fun when transformation's happening. And our campus expansion, that's going to keep that happening. So that there are more Daves, more Glasgows, more Sherrys rescuing people from human trafficking, more U.S. churches transforming cities, and more people getting baptized in the Middle East. God is transforming people. He's using you, and let's make room for more. You know, we want to finish this building over here in the next 18 months. The next phase that we're saving money for is to start the interior work. That's $1.5 million for that phase to get going. And we currently have $350,000 towards that. Many of you guys, maybe most all of you, have been investing in it. But right now, what we want to do is we want to put you in the middle of what you've been investing in. We're going to move over to our new auditorium. Nobody move yet. And we're going to celebrate who God is, the transformation he's doing in our lives and in our city and what he's doing around the world. And we're going to pray for our city, our nation, our nations of the world.